Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could control your behavior? You'd be able to avoid overeating, alcoholism, all bad habits, procrastination, being late, impulsive comments and purchases, losing things, and even sinful behavior. Instead, you'd have good health, a beautifully exercised body, excellent work habits, an organized life, success, good social graces, good mental health, healthy attitudes, and practically a guarantee of getting into heaven. Tonight, I'd like to talk for a little while about the area of self-control. I've been considering this topic over the last couple of years in my life, basically since and because I got married. Over the last few months, I have observed in myself areas of potential concern in the arena of self-control. And within this topic of self-control, I'm particularly thinking mainly of bad habits that many of us may get into throughout our lives. Sometimes I think in the church we apply the idea of self-control for too narrow of a standard, or only to things we view as major problems. We view someone as lacking self-control if they have a problem with drugs, alcohol, smoking, sexual behavior outside of marriage, a bad temper, using foul language, or other similar areas. While we must admit that these are certainly major areas of spiritual concern, if we have self-control issues in one of these areas, I would submit to you, though, that self-control and the lack thereof is probably one of the areas of greatest concern to each of us as Christians, and mainly because we don't always recognize when we have a problem. In fact, most sins that we can identify in the Bible are going to be connected to self-control or us lacking self-control in that area. Because all the bad things I just spoke of fall into this area of self-control, as well as many other areas that are on the surface more innocent. An area that I have a problem with controlling in my own life from time to time is that of procrastinating. I invariably wait until the last minute to sit down and work on things. My talks are a good example of this. I usually know what I want to talk about well in advance, ahead of time. I'm thinking about it before I'm on the program. I'm mulling over different thoughts and coming up with different avenues that I want to explore, different ideas that I want to explore on that topic, and coming up with different passages or scriptures to use in my talk. But actually sitting down and putting my ideas into words and typing out my outline and lesson is invariably a last-minute exercise for me. And procrastinating intrudes and causes problems in other areas of my life as well. If I find myself with a free day and make plans to accomplish something around the house, for example, rather than taking advantage of my time and working on the project early in the day or throughout the day, I will invariably put it off until the end of the day and rush to get it finished at the last minute. Some people say they work better under pressure and do their best work when they are facing that deadline. And hopefully that is the case with me, since I tend to do that. But even so, I don't feel good about that or right about this lack of self-control, and would like to do something to end this cycle I have established for myself as a procrastinator. Even though we might be able to justify this, again, by showing that we do a good job when we accomplish things at the last minute, I don't feel like this is the best use of my time, and I certainly don't want to pass along this attribute if and when I stop procrastinating and have some children. And I don't want to show this example to others that I know and love. So as I wanted to demonstrate with my personal example of procrastinating, in the area of self-control, most people in this audience have some area of concern. It may not be in an area that seems to be major or spiritually significant, but most of us have at least one area where we lack some self-control. And self-control issues that don't seem like a big deal today may tomorrow grow into something bigger or worse. They may eventually grow into something that is spiritually significant to each of us. So hopefully my thoughts tonight will apply to everyone here, or at least have some benefit to each of us. Turning over to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. He who rules himself well, or has himself within self-control, is better than a man that can conquer a city. Conquering ourselves is more difficult than conquering a city. We continue on a couple of chapters farther in chapter 25 of Proverbs. Chapter 25, verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Whoever has no self-control is like a city broken down, missing its walls. Just as a city without walls would be open to attack from without, so are we if we lack self-control. A person without self-control will be a prime target for Satan. In our adult class on Wednesday night, Jerry was speaking about Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, where it reads, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." He was talking about the word train in that passage. In that passage, train is referring to disciplining or causing a child to learn. In fact, the Hebrew word chanak, C-H-A-N-A-K, in that passage means to narrow, meaning to narrowly focus your child's attention on the way they should go. We as adults are not that different in this respect. In personal areas where we lack self-control, we need to narrow our focus and realize we are not in control and direct our attention to regaining control. And if we lack self-control in some area, we may need to retrain ourselves, much like we might train a child in order to regain control. And as is the case with my procrastination, this can be a very long-term project. I have been guilty of and allowed myself to procrastinate for most of my life. Areas that we have let our self-control lag for a long period of time will be very difficult for us to reestablish control over. How do we even know that we are lacking self-control in a particular area? Turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, we read, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" Here we are taught to examine ourselves, to prove ourselves, to know ourselves. We should all go through periods of reflection from time to time to see whether we meet up to the standard that we have before us, Jesus Christ. We also need to pay attention to things that others say to us to discover if we may have an area where we lack some self-control, especially from those we know and love in the Lord. If we have a spouse or loved one that wants us to change some area where we are out of control, we should be willing to change a behavior or regain control over a particular area of our lives for that someone we love. And it will, an extension, be for our own good, of course. But aside from that, we are not going to be able to achieve self-control unless we examine ourselves from time to time and admit to ourselves that we are lacking self-control in some particular area. When talking about self-control in a spiritual sense, what are we talking about? In the various translations of the Bible that we have, this idea of self-control might be called sober, being sober or sober-minded, temperate or calm, and defined as having a dispassionate approach to life, having mastered personal desires and personal passions. Biblical admonitions certainly expect God's people to exercise self-control in all areas of their lives. In what areas of life does the Bible give us warnings about in the arena of self-control? Turning to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Keeping ourselves under self-control, abstaining from fleshly lusts, so that our conduct may be honorable before the world, so that they may glorify God when they speak of our works, even if those speaking of our works deem those works to be evil. Turning back to Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23 verses 29 through 35. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake, that I may seek another drink?" As we read here, wine can be very enticing. It has a red color, it sparkles in the cup, and it is smooth. Wine can bite us in the end. It bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. It causes our eyes to see strange things and can cause our hearts to utter perverse things. In Psalms chapter 39, Psalms 39 verses 1 and 2, we're reading about the tongue. I said, "I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle, while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up." We need to have self-control over our tongues. Our tongue can be an unruly evil unless we practice self-control, and we need to learn to bite it to silence. And back in the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 5. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God." Self-control, so that each of us can possess our own bodies and keep them in control, so we will abstain from sexual immorality. How then will self-control help us in our spiritual walk? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." We need to exercise self-control. Be sober, as obedient children, not conforming ourselves to our lack of self-control in our previous time. This will help us to be holy, just as he who called us is holy. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." If we can discipline ourselves and have self-control, when we preach to others, we will not be as hypocrites. They will have more trust in the things we say if we have self-control and practice the things we preach. From the passage that Roger read for us this evening, Galatians chapter 5. In verses 19 through 21 of Galatians chapter 5, we have a list of some of the areas that we might have a lack of self-control. I'll go ahead and reread verses 22 through 26. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Those who are Christ's have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. Our passions and desires are now the same as Christ's. As we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. And also in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are aspects of our growth in Christ, and self-control fits right in the middle of this list. With these qualities within our lives, we will have the knowledge we need of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what do we need to do once we have identified that we have an area of concern with our self-control? Of course, spiritually speaking, we need to examine the Scriptures to see if we can find any aid contained therein in our area of need, in our specific area that we lack self-control. We should also spend much time going to God in prayer, asking for comfort and for strength in overcoming this particular area of trouble. As we know, though, God does not always answer our prayers in an obvious manner to us. We must do some work on our own, or do much work on our own, to help us to overcome our particular area where we lack self-control. I'm certainly not an expert in the arena of self-help methods, but I came across some websites and in my studies for this lesson and gathered just some interesting information from there. If anybody had anybody can go find self-help books or look up anything on the internet at this particular time, but this is some of the information that I got out of here. Each of us will individually have to figure out what works best for us in attempting to change a behavior we need to change. Once we have identified our area of concern, we need to examine the root cause of our problem. Whether we are overeating because we are anxious or bored, smoking or drinking to relax, procrastinating to avoid work, socializing when we need pleasure, etc., we need to find out what the root cause of our problem is to fix that problem. In other words, the root cause of the problem I mentioned, of procrastination, is probably avoidance of work. So the procrastination might not necessarily be the problem that we need to fix, but figuring out how we can deal with not trying to avoid work. I don't think that's what I'm doing, but who knows. Oftentimes our problem is a symptom rather than the real reason for our self-control issues. So once we've identified the root cause of our self-control problem, we need to attack the root cause to solve our problem. The best and most effective way for us to regain self-control is to look to Jesus, just as Jesus did with the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5. That story begins in verse 2, or actually verse 1, I guess. We all know this story fairly well. When Jesus was visiting the country of the Gadarenes, he came upon a demon-possessed man living there in the tombs. This man had lacked self-control for years. Reading verses 4 and 5, we see, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. The man ran to Jesus to worship him when he saw him. And Jesus, of course, commanded the unclean spirits to depart from the man. The demons that dwelt within him begged Jesus not to cast them out into the abyss. So Jesus then ordered the demons to enter some swine that were feeding on the mountain nearby. As the demons entered the swine, of course, ran into the lake and were drowned. Then we read in verse 15, Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So with the power of Jesus and him casting out the demons, the man was now in his right mind and had self-control. After we've identified the root cause of our self-control issue, we should be able to better attack the problem. Of course, spiritually, this should again involve much prayer to God, asking for the strength to overcome whatever our self-control issues are. Again, if this is an area that you have let continue out of control for years, it may be very difficult and even painful at times to overcome. In order to regain self-control, we are going to need to figure out how to change and be motivated to change and realize it won't come as quickly as we would like it to. Ask anyone who has ever tried to diet. It will not be possible to effectively change without both of those attributes and plenty of time. Again, from one of the self-help websites that I was looking at, they advised breaking your major goals into manageable daily tasks and setting aside the time to perform those tasks. Take pleasure from the work you put into changing your issue and reward your progress. Remember your past successes and imagine how good you will feel when you accomplish your goal. Also, imagine how bad you will feel if you give up or mess up. Use competition with yourself, especially trying to improve on your best effort so far, to arouse your interest. And seek encouragement and find heroes to inspire you. And we have plenty of heroes here that have overcome different tasks, and anybody would be willing to help somebody else out if they have a self-control issue in a certain area. Turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We know there is no temptation that has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. But know that God will not give us any self-control issues that we cannot overcome. And he always gives us an opportunity to escape from our lack of self-control. If we earnestly seek out an answer to our self-control issues, we will find the answer. Another aspect I'd like to mention before closing our thoughts this evening is the qualifications for officers and wives. Having self-control or being temperate is listed as a qualification for being an officer in the church or being the wife of an officer in the church. As we all know from 1 Timothy chapter 3, where we first read about the qualifications for officers. 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 3. Speaking of a bishop. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Several of those qualifications apply to self-control. And also in verse 8, speaking of the qualifications of a deacon. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. And also on down in verse 11, speaking of their wives. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. And also in Titus, where we again read about the qualifications for an elder. Titus 1, verses 7 and 8, reiterating the qualifications of a bishop. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. These passages let us know that it is required for elders, deacons, and their wives to exhibit self-control over their lives. And we can also read in Titus chapter 2, the next chapter, verses 2 through 6, And verse 2, we read about the older men. Verse 3, the older women. Verse 4, the young women. And verse 6, the young men. And in all these cases, it speaks of them as being sober-minded or to show self-control in their lives. In offering the invitation tonight, I'd like us to think about the man who always exhibited self-control, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ taught us to lead a self-controlled and disciplined life, to be in this world, but not of this world. Christ shows us the perfect example of self-control, as he willingly gave up his life in a painful, physically, mentally, and emotionally way. He had self-control enough to allow the soldiers and observers to beat him, to mock him, to spit on him, to call him names in derision. He had the type of self-control that we should all be striving for on a daily basis as we examine our lives and strive to meet the standard that he has set for us. If anyone would like to take the opportunity tonight, it is offered to you to begin to live a new life that is not only full of self-control, but also full of God and Christ's control. Please come forward and stand as we stand and sing.